penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad countless. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddhist truth one with myself.
Amish the Buddha, Amish the Dharma, Amish the Sangha. There's a saying in Buddhism, only volition is the doer of karma, only feeling is the reaper of karma. With regard to each individual being, this refers to that individual's use of volition and that individual's experience of feeling. This is true in individual lifetimes. It's true through whole streams of lifetimes and streams of karma. Volitional actions make karma. Volitional actions are the causes. The ultimate consequence is experienced in feeling. This is one of those incredibly simple principles which has profound, far-reaching implications when applied in actual practice. When I was a young monk, I've often said this, when I was a young monk, one of the things that your master most often emphasized to us was that we always needed to stay focused on just doing our own training. What that means is that through my volitional acts, I make karma. In my personal states of feeling, I reap karma. The same is true for everyone else. Yet the only area in which I have any control, the only area in which I have any control at all, is an area of my own volitional acts. Once I have set the ball of karma rolling through any volitional act, the states of feeling, state or states of feeling, consequential upon that act, are not in my control at all. When that particular karma comes due, that particular act, I'm going to experience the feelings that are consequential upon that act. And that the nature of that consequence is a necessary connection. That is, the particular cause will always produce and necessarily produce the particular effect. I can't do anything about the consequential side of things, in other words. Once a volitional act is done, the consequence is going to roll in at some point. Consequences are going to roll in accordance with the law of karma. There's nothing I can do about that. Any more than if I go step off a roof, I can do anything about the fact that I'm going to fall down. This means that where my focus always needs to be is on the actual action, the volitional action. And not everyone else's volitional action, but my volitional action. Everyone else is going to reap the consequences of their volitional action, just as I'm going to reap the consequences of mine. And we're all going to reap the consequences of the fact that we're all in the same general soup of humanity with one another. But if I am thinking and behaving in a wise manner, I am always aware that the only person's actions that I am ultimately responsible for, which I ultimately have some control over, are my own, not those of others. Each man his karma makes and must carry for himself. Because I got born into this life, there's many things that will happen to me that are entirely out of my control. Yet my own volitional acts in this lifetime are in my control. I have something to say about that. That is where my focus needs to be. Wind River Master taught us again and again and again, just do your own training. She was teaching with this understanding as the foundation of that teaching. You can't set everyone else's house in order. Ultimately, you can only set your own house in order. And to fail to do this is a real spiritual opportunity missed. To apply this teaching in actual practice is to, in one's own actions of body, speech, and thought, to make a peaceful platform for living within one's own heart. A tremendous amount of worry that people do is worry about things over which they have no control whatsoever. And while thus occupied, people ignore the things over which they do have control. We want to live and train in such a way that everything is spinning around the still point within our own hara. Everything is rotating around our Buddha nature. And we stay rooted in that place within ourselves, a perfect serenity and composure, a perfect stillness and acceptance. From this position, when it is good to act in ways which benefit beings, we're in a position to turn to the Eternal and ask how to proceed. We're in a position to listen. We're in a position to hear. We're in a position to follow when the signal comes, giving the direction that we need to move in. And at the same time, we are not attached to the consequences to any particular set of desired consequences. This way, when things don't work out as we might have hoped they would, we don't end up being heartbroken. if there are not the expectations in the first place, there will not be the disappointment. Just doing one's own training is plenty difficult. Trying to do the training of others is impossible. Or doing the training of others is impossible. And trying to do so results in misery for oneself, and often it compounds the misery of others. The kind of willingness that is expressed in this teaching is a willingness to accept our human limits, and the willingness to do the best we can within those limits. When we accept our human limits, that is humility. When we seek, listen for, we ask for, we listen for, we follow the guidance of the eternal, that is wisdom. The source of the wisdom is not our brain, it's not our personality, it's not something that comes from books, it's not something that comes from other people. The source of that wisdom is the eternal itself. Humility and wisdom are two sides of the same coin. If we act in pride, in a prideful way, it does not occur to us to turn to the eternal for help, to seek the help of the eternal, to ask, to listen. So fools rush in where humble and wise men fear to tread.
Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to your great wisdom.